Let's turn over to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Goes on to say, "Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I want to talk today about pride and humility, and we may continue on and be on this for a while, or it may just be today, we'll see. I want to talk to you about pride and humility. Now, that's a pretty familiar verse there. And people say this, they paraphrase this all the time. How many times have you heard, pride comes before a fall? Somebody does something, makes national news, something like that. Well, pride comes before the fall. You know, it's in the Bible, but it's just a common proverb as well that we hear. And so we all associate, I don't think there's too many people that wouldn't associate pride with being arrogant or being self-confident or that type of behavior. You know, come in, somebody's full of pride, they just, maybe narcissism, you know, they think they're just, it's all about them or nothing can happen to them or a sense of invincibility. That's all true. That is pride. But that isn't the only facet of pride. You know, a lot of people wouldn't associate this with pride, but if you say, you know, I'm just nothing, I can't do anything, oh, I'm just not, you know, I'm not able to, just don't have any abilities, not able to do anything, oh, I'm not good enough to go to that place, or, you know, I'm not special enough, or I just don't have the skills to do that. A lot of people would say, oh, that person's being humble. You know that's called pride as well? It's the same thing. Pride is believing anything but what God says about you. If you don't agree with God, you're in pride. And that means if you think you're better than everybody else and you're just all that, guess what? You're in pride. There's one God and we worship Him. And He sets one up and puts one down. Same time you say, I'm nothing, I can't do anything, oh, I'm just not worthy of that, you're in pride. Because what does God say about you? You know, you're seated with Him in heavenly places. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if you say, no, wait a minute, I'm just lowly, guess what? That'd be like God standing there to say, I call you righteous, I call you well, and you say, no, I just can't do it. It'd be like looking at God and you just say, no, you're wrong. Now there you can see how it's pride, right? That becomes, you're exalting yourself against God's word. But so many people say, oh no, that person's being humble. And the devil will use this to trap us. Oh, I just can't do it. You know, I just don't have the skills. And nobody likes me. Well, that person's humble. No, they're not. They're in pride. They're self-centered. And we're all tempted to do that. Make it all about us. Well, it's all, you know, I don't have anything going for me. Everything's going bad. It's so easy to look at ourselves. Guess what? We're in pride. We're not saying God has given me all things, blessed me with all blessings in Christ. See, the more we line ourselves up with the Word of God, that's true humility. That's true humility. Regardless of what I think or what I feel, I'm going to say what God says. That's being humble. Being proud is saying anything but and exalting yourself against God. Let's turn over to James 4:6. James 4:6, but it says, He gives more grace. Thank God He gives us more grace. Grace, if you do this in your Bible, when you read the Bible and you see grace, just substitute unmerited favor. It'll help you a lot. He gives you unmerited favor. That means favor you did not earn. Nobody in here earned the right to be one of God's children. It was given because Jesus chose to pay the price. And so it is unmerited. He gives us favor that we don't deserve. Thank God that we are King's children. So it'll help you when you read the Bible if you just insert unmerited favor. But He gives more grace. He gives more unmerited favor. Favor I don't deserve. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud. Resist. Do you want God resisting you? I don't know about you. I do not want God resisting me. That's one person I do not need resisting me. There's enough in this life. You do not need God resisting you. God resists the what? Proud. What's pride? When you don't acknowledge God, you won't submit to Him. You won't do what He says you should do. You won't say about yourself what He says. You want to do your own thing. How many people in the world want to do their own thing? I don't want God. I don't need God. Christians or anybody that believes in a God, that's a crutch. That's for weak individuals. I don't need God. God resists that type of a person. I don't want to be that type of a person. But what? God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He gives unmerited favor to the humble. Somebody that says, God, I know I don't have everything together. I don't have all my ducks in a row, but God, I'll serve you. God, I'll give you what I have. God, I'll do it your way. God, I may not see everything about myself. I don't know how I can get it done, but God, I give you what I have. Do with it what you want. Here you go. I give it to you. That's a humble person. What is that? What does the Bible say about that person? God gives that person favor. God extends His hand and says, all right, I'll show you how. That's all I need. You know, God doesn't need the strongest and the mightiest and the most powerful. God just needs people that'll agree with Him and just give what they have to Him and just say, God, I'll let you have what I have. What I have is yours. And He says, all right, I'll show you the way. Now come with me. Only the person that's humble and that does not look to themselves and looks to God will follow Him like that. The proud person will say, no, I'll do it my own way. Forget it. So what does it say? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Therefore, submit to God. See, a lot of times people quote the second part of this verse, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's true. When you resist the devil, you say, no, God, devil, you're not going to have a way, you're not going to have any foothold in my life. I resist you in the name of Jesus. It says he'll flee from you. That means to run away from you as in terror with his hands waving out. No, he is scared. Do you realize the enemy is scared of you? Beyond what we even know. When we know who we are in Christ Jesus, when we know that we are a son of Almighty God, do you realize that the demons tremble when you walk down the street? Now, you may not know it. If you don't know what you have, it's like you have, you know, two heavily loaded weapons. You know, you got a semi-automatic weapon over here and an RPG launcher over here, and you're walking down the street, but you don't know they're there. Everybody else is going, good night. That dude is loaded. I'm getting away from him. All your enemies, you walked into town like that, they'd be running away from you. But it'd be like you don't even know they're there. And you're walking away. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I have what it takes here. And everybody's looking at you running away. That's because we have these weapons. We walk around with the Spirit of Almighty God inside of us. And the enemy knows it. But if you don't know it, he's going to take advantage of it. And he will. Do you realize we have rights in this country? But if you don't know your rights, you can be taken advantage of, like especially in a corrupt state or a corrupt town where the law isn't following what they should. They can take advantage of you if you don't know your rights. But if you know your rights, you stand up, they cannot take advantage of you. You know, I have a right to remain silent. I have a right to freedom of speech. We have a constitution that lays those out. And so it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. We have rights and we have privileges, and the enemy knows it. But if he can get you duped and get you off track and you don't know it, or if you're ignorant, you don't know what you have, you can be walking through life not taking advantage of what you have now because you are a child of the Almighty King of the universe. So when it says in here, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, yeah, the devil is scared of us, but we got to know what we have. That's why the Bible says to resist him. Tell him where to go. But notice what it says right before that. It says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Part of it is You know, it's not just resist the devil, go do your own thing and resist the devil, now you run the show. It doesn't work like that. We are his children, and he is our Lord, and if he's our Lord, we do what he would have us to do. We submit to him. Yes, Lord, you want me to go over there? You want me to do that? Yes, I can do it. Yes, I believe I can do it. Lord, show me what to do, and I can go. Then the enemy, you resist the devil, and you're on God's task, and you're following him. The devil has no choice but to run away from you. But I'll tell you what, you get off thinking, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't need God or whatever. Then you're going to resist the devil. You're not really standing in the full authority that you should be. You're going off doing your own thing, and the devil knows that because he's probably the one that tempted you to get away from God. And then you're over there telling him to get away when he's the one that's got you in the mess in the first place. Now, I'm not saying God won't be merciful. He will. He's merciful to us all, but there's no reason to resist God. It doesn't say submit to the devil and resist God. It says submit to God and resist the devil. There's no reason. God is a merciful, loving God. Don't run away from him. Don't fall into the trap. The devil will try to get us into the same mode that he fell into himself. Pride. I should be worshipped. Evidently, he exalted himself against God. Satan was so full of pride that he thought he could take on God and win. That's what pride will do to you. That was deception. The creator of the universe. Lucifer thinks, I'm going to take him on. I'm going to win. Here, takes a third of the angels and tries to go against God. He should have seen that that was doomed from the beginning. But that's what pride will do for you. It clouds your vision. You think, I can do this. I'm going to go off. I don't need God. And the enemy goes, yep, you don't need God. You don't need, oh yeah, you can do it yourself. And he'll push you right off to where you just fall right off the cliff. Fall. Because why? You're not following God. You're not with him. You're not submitting to God. You're in pride. So what does it say above? God resists the proud. God is wants to help you, wants to get you on the right track, but he's saying this isn't the right way, and if I let you go this way, you're going to destroy yourself. He has to resist you because he loves you. He loves us so much that he'll do that. So he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God will always make a way for the humble, for the people. Again, as we're talking about this, we got to get rid of our religious mindset and what the world would say is humble. Humble, we think of, oh, just groveling, somebody that's just so humble, doesn't have anything going for them. Oh, I'm just so humble. I wouldn't bear to lift my eyes and look at you because I'm so humble. That's not humility. That is not humility. Just, we got to get that erased from our head. That is pride. Humility is just, God, I say about myself what you say. If you say I'm strong, God. I don't care if I feel like it. You say I'm healed, I'm healed. I don't care if I feel like it, I'm healed. Well, you look like a fool. You don't feel healed. God says I'm healed. So I'm being humble. I'm saying what he says about me. Pride would say, yeah, you're right. Forget it. God doesn't know what he's talking about. That would be pride. Let's turn over and read a parallel verse before we go. 1 Peter, just next book. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's quoting Proverbs 3, verse 34. Both of these are quoting Proverbs. But God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. Say, God, I don't know. I don't necessarily understand everything, but Lord, I know I'm going to follow you. that he may exalt you and get you in the right place in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon you. Sometimes, just trusting God, you don't understand everything, you're walking a certain path out, and being humble is following him anyway. And then, in that sense, the devil will try to bring cares upon you, try to get you to worry and fret. What's he saying here? He said, just throw all that onto God. As you're walking the path and trusting him, throw it all into God. He said, cast all care. We've talked about this before. Cast all care. You know, it'd be like taking something, throwing it onto God. Get rid of it. Throw all care. Cast it off. Any care. It says all care. It seems like a tall order sometimes, especially when we're going through something difficult. But the Bible says just cast it off. Throw it off. Because why? Because he cares for us. If we know the King of the universe cares for us, to throw all the care on him and say, God, I don't understand everything, but one thing I know, I'm trusting you, I'm going to be humble, I'm going to follow you. So God, here's all my cares, I don't need them anyway. If you told me to throw them to you, why do I want them? I'd be like, I'm carrying this, 100-pound, 200-pound load on my back, and I can't hardly bear up under it. I'm just barely making way. And God's walking next to me and says, throw that on me. A lot of people go, no, this is my burden to bear. No, I won't give it to you, God. Right there you can see, what is that? Humility or pride? It's pride. God's next to you telling you to throw the load on him, and he's saying, you're saying, no, I can take it. I can take it. And he's going, give it to me. He would have no problem with it, but you're saying, no, I'll take it. That's what so many people are doing. I'll bear it. It's okay. I'll take it. But if we'll just say, okay, God, you told me to cast it on you. All right. There you go. And he takes it and he walks on. And you're free of it. You've freed yourself of that burden. Why? Because you're trusting him. Why? Because you're being humble. You're walking in humility. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. If we'll just believe that statement is true and that he does care for us, and that it's not just some person preaching, but that it's God himself speaking in his word that he cares for us, and we believe that, then if we humble ourselves and just say, God, okay, you take it. Not worth me taking it. If you're going to take it, why should I take it? No use me bearing it if you said you'd bear it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for that. Let's turn over to Romans 12. It says, verse 3, Romans 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He said not to think of himself more highly. He didn't say to not think of yourself highly. He didn't say to think of yourself lowly. He just said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Don't get an overinflated view of yourself. But he didn't say that means you grovel or you think, oh, I'm just nothing. No, he said, don't think of yourself more highly. If God says you're the righteousness of God, if God says you can do all things through him, if God said you're seated with him in heavenly places, then you say, all right, that's where I am. I'm just not better than you. I'm just not better than somebody else. But I am who God says I am. He says not to think of himself more highly. If God said it about me, then I agree with him. Period. That's walking in humility. Now let's turn over to Numbers. You see an example of this. Familiar example that we've all... Let's talk about Moses. Turn over to Numbers 12. Actually, hold your finger in Numbers and go over to Exodus. Hold your fingers in Numbers 12 and go over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. So this is the account of Moses with the burning bush when God is talking to him. And as you know, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh ordered all the baby boys killed, and Moses' mother put him in a little basket. You know, we probably heard this when we were little or seen the stories or read the books. Put him in a little basket, let him go down the river. Daughter of Pharaoh sees the baby, brings him in as her own, and then goes and gets the Moses' mother to care for him. And so Moses is raised in Pharaoh's household with all the benefits that would go with that. So Moses grows up and is somebody. He's all learned and everything, and eats well. And of course, the Jewish people, the Israelites, are in Egypt as slaves, and he sees an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, and he goes, gets in the middle of it, and kills the Egyptian. And so then somebody says the next day, calls him on it. They know that he's killed that person. So Moses flees. And Moses gets out of town, and he's there for many years. And so then God comes back and speaks to Moses, and that's where what we're talking about. He appears to him in a burning bush. And so if you go down to verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7 of Exodus. So God has just told Moses, he's appeared to him and said, you know, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go to verse 6. It says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the land, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Look what Moses did right away. He questioned Almighty God. God just got done telling him, I am God Almighty. I am the God of your fathers. Now, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my children out. They're going to go into a good land. I want you to do it. Does Moses say, okay, yes, sir, I'm going to do it? No. He says, who am I? He questions God. Now, most people would say that's humble. That's not humility. And we're going to see Moses evidently learned some things, because there's some quotes later, but that's not the right response. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? See, so many people go, well, God, who am I that I should enjoy this favor with God? I should have to work my way. So they work their way. They try to work to earn favor with God that they could never earn from the beginning. God, we did nothing to deserve the favor that we've gotten through Jesus Christ. Yet people say, that can't be true. So I'm going to work. I'm going to really work hard. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to try to be the best Christian I can. So then I've earned what God said he would give me freely. That's not what God said. He said that it was a free gift. Verse 12, so he said, I will certainly be with you. Okay, so Moses just said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God responds, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of the of your fathers has sent to me,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" So God continues on and he says, "I tell them that I am who I am." And he goes down and God tells him a few more things, stating his case. If you skip down to verse 1 of chapter 4, "Then Moses answered and said, 'But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice.'" So God tells him, "This is who I am, and this is who you're going to say has sent you." And so then Moses answered and said, "Okay, but suppose they won't believe me and listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. What should I do then?" So the Lord said to them, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." Then God goes and tells him and gives him a couple signs. And he says, "Look, if they say that, you take your rod and you throw it down, it's going to become a snake. And then when you grab the snake by the tail, it's going to become a rod." And then he gave him another sign. And he said, "Put your hand into your coat." And he did, and he brought it out, and it was all leprous. And he said, "Now put it back in." He put it back in, he brought it out, and it was clean. He said, "Now you show them those signs if they don't believe you, and that'll convince them." So then down in verse 10, then Moses, so God has just told him, okay, these are the signs that you should tell them if they don't believe you. So then Moses responds again. Verse 10, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not I, the Lord?'" God, you know, Moses is saying, "Look, I can't speak well." And instead of saying, "Look, if you said I can do it, I can do it," God, Moses is coming up with all the excuses. And he says, "Okay, but I can't speak well." And God says, "Who made your mouth? Who made it? If I tell you you can speak, then you can speak. I made your mouth. I can correct it." Verse 12, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." So Moses objected, you know, and had said, "I can't speak." God said, "I made your mouth and I'll be with your mouth. Go." So what does Moses say now? But he said, "Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. I don't want to do it. Send somebody else." So, verse 14. "So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said," so God is getting impatient. He's saying, "All right, you keep coming back to me with these excuses." He goes, "All right. Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. You shall take this rod in your hand, in which you shall do the signs." But that was not God's best, I don't believe. It doesn't say. But God told Moses to go. Moses said, "I can't do it. My mouth doesn't work well." And God just sat there and said, "All right, your brother, he can speak well. You tell him what to say, he'll say it. All right? Do it that way, since you won't believe me." But God was not happy. Some people would think God would be happy with that. "Well, God, I just can't do it. You know I'm humble." Most people would say, "Oh, he's being humble." No, he's disagreeing with Almighty God. It's not the way to go. And we don't want to be like that. Now, I told you we'd go over to Numbers, so we'll close with this. Evidently, Moses learned some things, and he figured out some things. He obviously went and did what God told him. He was the leader of the Israelites for many years. But now notice what is written about Moses in Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they're mad because he married a different race. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? So they're saying, well, is Moses the only one that God speaks through? I mean, hasn't he spoken to us? What's so special about Moses? So they're rising up against Moses. Notice this is Aaron, his brother, and Miriam. And the Lord heard it. Now look at verse 3. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. It says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. In the Living Bible, it says, now Moses was the humblest man on the earth. Do you know who wrote that? Do you know who the book of Numbers was attributed to? It's Moses. Moses wrote that Moses was the humblest person on the face of the earth. Most people would not call that humility. They would call that pride. They would say that man is in pride. You know, who's the humblest person in the world? You know, if I said, who's the humblest person here? You know, one of you raised your hand. Most people would say, you're in pride. So you just showed that you're not. No, Moses is, that is not the true definition of humility. If he was the most humble person on the face of the earth and he said so, that is really being humble. It's true. If it's true, he's saying, it's me. That takes a lot of humility to do that because most people will think you're in pride. If God told you to do something, you're good at it, and you know, you're the most, you're, if somebody said, who's the most expert in this area in the room? It's me. I'm the most that's being humble. If it's true, you could do that in pride too. But the bottom line is, if God said it, we agree with it regardless of what we think or feel. That is true humility, and that'll get us to where God wants us to go. Always. We'll just agree with Him. We don't feel like it. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Boy, I don't feel healed. I don't care. Shut up. I'm going to be humble. I'm not going to be in pride. We think of it that way, you know, just shun pride. Shun anything that'll try to get you away from just agreeing with God and just agree with Him. That's true humility. Amen.